You're listening to Gruesome and Unnatural, a true crime podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Gruesome and Unnatural. I'm Shelley.
And I'm Eric. And this is episode 76.
Hello, my gruesome addicts. Thanks what for up? Joining us for another episode. You seem really stoked for this one. Are you ready? You're always ready.
I don't know why I asked you. Never stoked this. For any of this.
I don't know why I always ask you.
Never asked for any of this.
Yeah, I kind of forced you to. Anyways.
Let's just get into the episode.
Zachary Everett Davis was born on July 29th, 1997, to Melanie and Chris Davis. I believe at this time they were living in Kentucky. Melanie and Chris already had a one-year-old son named Josh. Growing up, you know, they were pretty close, brothers. Not like extremely close, but growing up, Zach was always kind of a quiet child, although he did have a history of mental illness. In 2007, when he was 9 years old, his father, Chris, passed away due to Lou Gehrig's disease. When his father passed away, Zach just became extremely depressed, so much that he eventually wound up in the hospital for psychiatric treatment around like 11 years old.
Damn.
I know. Like, he was pretty young when all this happened. So his mother started to like notice odd behaviors and wanted to get her son treatment, obviously, right? He's pretty young. His dad just died. Zach was referred to Dr. Bradley Freeman at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. It was there that Zach reported hearing voices and even the voice of his father. So, like, in one of these four sessions, he told this to Dr. Freeman, that he would hear voices of his father and stuff. So, eventually, Dr. Freeman diagnosed him with schizophrenia and depression. He informed the family of this diagnosis, so they were all aware of them as well. But, you know, although despite being, you know, feeling depressed due to his father's death and being diagnosed with schizophrenia, Zach still needed help, right? He needed to recover from all this as much as he possibly could, but his mother abruptly pulled him out of the clinic shortly after he like started to kind of recover from everything. Why she did this, I have no idea. At this time, his mother Melanie was working as a paralegal and she was training as a triathlete, and she was just, you know, trying her hardest to raise her two boys alone now while she's also grieving the loss of her husband.
Yeah.
6 years later, Melanie is now raising 15-year-old Zach and 16-year-old Josh. So, obviously, that's a lot, right? Two young teenage boys, raising them by herself. And it's this time that they now move to Sumner County, Tennessee. So, they're now living in Tennessee. It is there that Zach, he was kind of an outcast in school. He was just kind of withdrawn from everyone and everything. He often spoke in, like, a monotone, like, voice, kind of like whisper kind of weird thing. And would wear, like, the same hoodie every single day. He had an app on his phone about, like, serial killers. And there was another app that listed, like, different torture devices. I don't know what kind of app you download for that, but...
You sure you don't know?
I don't. I swear, I don't have an app about serial killers or torture devices. Several of his notebooks had, like, disturbing writings in them. There was one that said, quote, "You can't spell slaughter without laughter." And I was like, oh, shit. Huh. I never really thought about that. But, yeah, he wrote that in one of his books. I know. That's kind of just creepy and interesting. He did state that he saw a few therapists after he moved to Sumner County in Tennessee, but that just didn't last that long. This is when we get to August 10th, 2012. 15-year-old Zach and 16-year-old brother Josh and his 45-year-old mother Melanie went out to watch a movie together to the movie theaters. They had actually been talking about this, I think, the night or the day prior. They were texting each other. Texts were totally normal texts that, I don't know, you have with your family members, you know? They always did, like... you know, like the heart that they do with just like the symbols and the three, that symbol and the three, like that's how they would like text each other with that like little symbol at the end of it. He also texts his brother like that too. So it's like, his seems like it's just like a normal happy family, you know, as much as they could be. So yeah, they were talking about going to this movie the day prior. And he said, you know, she said she had to take Josh like to the orthodontist and they would go to the movies later that night, just normal, typical day. Then they return home after the movie. Melanie goes to her room. She starts to, like, work out a little bit because, like I was saying, she was a triathlete. And she starts to work out a little bit. Josh comes in the room. Her older son talks to her a little bit, works out with her a little bit, you know, and then he says goodnight. Melanie says goodnight, and then around 9 p.m., she's off to bed. Again, like I said, any other night. However, Zach, her younger son, had other plans for the evening. He started to pack some essentials such as clothes, notebooks, toothbrush, gloves, ski mask, a claw hammer, all into like a backpack.
Essentials.
Normal stuff, right? Yeah, essentials. Seeming like maybe he planned to run away. I don't know. He was only 15. I don't know. But no, that was not his plan whatsoever. Zach goes to the garage. He grabs a sledgehammer, brings it back into the house. And he waits about 2 hours until his mother and brother are like completely asleep. He keeps going in there and checking on them, making sure they're asleep. Then he goes into his mother's room. Mind you, again, she's like totally passed out. And Zach just starts to hit her over the head, hitting
what
her close
the
to
fuck.
I know. He says,
like, what do their families have to, like, unless there's some underlying thing we don't know what's going on in that house. It's just so fucked up when they just randomly attack your family.
Yeah. When she is like sleeping, and like the craziest thing is like, I'll get later on to it, but it's like I don't see a reason why he did it. He's like literally has no reason to why he states random things. That could be potentially why he would do something like this, but like, yeah, just a horrifying way to like die, or to do that to your own mother. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. He claims that he varies in his stories throughout this whole thing. He claims he hit her like 12 times, 20 times, whatever, but he bludgeoned her head in with a sledgehammer.
God fucking damn it.
I know. It's horrifying. When you hear these kids doing it to their parents, it's just like the most horrifying. But like I was saying, he has now just murdered his own flesh and blood, his mother, while his older brother is still in the house. Zach is covered in her blood, walks out of her room and locks it and then shuts it. So she's alive or what, it's harder for her to get out now because the door's locked. Nobody can go in there and get her if need be. He then proceeds to go to the family game room where he poured whiskey all over the room before lighting it on fire. He then closes that door, changes his shirt real quick, and just took off. The fact that Zach closed the door where he started the fire is like, that's why his brother woke up and he was actually able to get out of the house. At first he thought he heard some like noises in his room, but then he realized it was the fire alarm. So he wakes up, he goes into Zach's room to go like see if he can help him or get him or whatever. And he sees the room's empty. So then he runs over to his mom's room and then tries to get in, but it's locked. So he starts freaking out and he breaks the door down, obviously, trying to like get to his mom. But then he sees like her lifeless body
in
the room.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Can you just imagine what this kid's going through? Like 16 years old, like so terrifying. So Josh escapes the fire, but now he must be just so confused, right? This fire is happening. His mom was in a locked room, found dead. His brother's nowhere to be found. So he calls 911, obviously, right? So this is what Zach did. So he obviously killed his mom, locked the door, lit the house on fire. And his intention was to kill his brother too. But then he stops at a Thornton's. He buys a Pepsi. And then he just starts walking down the street, thinking that he's going to like flee the area or whatever. So authorities did discover him about 4 hours later, about 5 miles away from their home, while he was just walking alone, attempting to leave town. He was arrested and taken to the Sumner County Sheriff's Office for questioning. And I'm just going to play a little bit of a few clips of this interrogation that he was in, because you have to hear this dude talk.
Let's do it.
Here it is.
Where'd you get the sledgehammer at?
My gosh.
Okay, and what about, how did you try and set the fire?
First, I tried to drag the lawnmower upstairs and empty the fuel tank in the room, but I couldn't do that, so I just poured a bottle of whiskey on the floor and lit it on fire.
A bottle of whiskey?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And was that before or after you hit your mom?
After,
okay. How many times did you hit her with the sledgehammer?
I don't know.
I mean, any estimation?
I'd say at least 12.
12 times, where did you hit her at on her body?
Around the head area.
Okay, was she sleeping at the time, or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did she wake up and say anything to you?
No, sir. I put my fingers on her neck to check her pulse and make sure she was dead.
Did you touch her anywhere else?
No, sir.
Have you thought about touching her anywhere else?
No, sir.
When you left, what were your plans at that point?
I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Oh, you hadn't? When did you think about doing this? I mean, when did this pop into your head as far as killing your mom?
Several years ago.
Had you told anybody about it?
No, sir.
So, with this, I mean, thinking about this, is it, were your mom just bad to you, or?
No, sir.
Pretty good mom? Was she a pretty good mom, or?
She wasn't very good mom. No. She wasn't very good. I don't know.
So, but when I said like a monotone voice,
sounds like he's like making it.
Doesn't it sound like he's making like that all up? Yeah, it does. But like his brother, like they ask his brother Josh, and like, you know, because they obviously had to talk to him too and everything. And they were like, has he always talked like this? And he's like, yeah. Since he was little, like he's always had like this monotone, just very quiet to himself. Yeah, just like he.
Sling Blade ish.
Yeah, but apparently, I feel like it's a little, like, dramatized.
Just like a villain's voice, you know? But,
yeah, for sure. Creepy. But at the crime scene, they found the sledgehammer, and on it had some kind of, like, code written on the handle. Almost reminds me of, like, Zodiac Killer. You remember, like, that certain writing he had? They had to, like, decode, like, what he wrote. So they also found, like, a handwritten alphabetic key to the code. So they were like able to translate what this code said on the handle, but it has like it's like a piece of paper and it shows like numbers and then it shows like these little symbols. So they decoded all of it, right? So it translated to Zed Requiem, and it has never been confirmed, but they believe it may have been Zach's initials, Zed Zachary Everett Davis.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So then, Requiem also refers to a mass for the dead. So they're like, maybe that's what he was trying to secretly put on, I don't know, like a fucking idiot. Zach had also mentioned reading a book that day, which was the novel Misery by Stephen King. And apparently the main character uses like an axe. Do you know this book?
I believe so.
Okay, you're looking at me like maybe you had read it or something.
No, I think I've seen the movie.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's funny that you said that, because the officer, the interrogation guy, officer, he was like, so you've been reading this Misery book, right? I'm going to show you a clip about like, them talking about it. But he's like, you know, in the main character uses a sledgehammer, but really he uses an axe. But I think in the movie, they use a sledgehammer.
I've totally seen
the book,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, seen the movie. Yeah. I've seen the book. I saw the movie for sure. It's a creepy ass fucking movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, why are they adding that into it? It was like, okay, I guess like they're trying to say that maybe he was like trying to go by the book and do with the book like while he was reading it. But I mean, the book is totally
opposite of kind of what he did.
Yeah. And that's why Zach's like, no, I'm not.
Story of it.
Yeah. But yeah, so here's a clip of Zach in the interrogation room talking about this book and like more of like what he did.
Are you sure you didn't get any of your thought process from one of those, from that book?
Yes, sir.
So, do you think, so you're saying there's no, that's strictly coincidence?
Yes, sir.
So you didn't draw any kind of thought process from the book Misery as to how you killed your mother?
No, sir.
Because, you know, Zach, we've been doing this a long time, and I mean, sledgehammer is a very unusual weapon to kill somebody with. So that's why he and I are asking that question, why a sledgehammer?
Oh, we're here to deny that I was working at that in this vital area.
Did you have any other type of weapons in the house that you thought about using?
A claw hammer. Yes, sir.
I mean, you don't remember feeling anything? Did you cry?
No, sir.
Were you screaming when you're hitting her?
No, sir.
Did you say anything to her before you hit her?
No, sir.
Did you love your mother?
Somewhat.
you say somewhat, I mean, you know, is there anything she's ever did to you that you hate her for?
No, sure.
So he was kind of boring to interview.
Well, it just sounds like a fucking Batman villain.
Yeah, seriously, just so it was like monotone and just
scary sounding.
Like, super fucking scary. And it's so crazy to me. He doesn't seem like he's 15 years old. I don't know. Looking at him here, like I don't see a 15 year old at all. But later they asked
in traumatic times you grow up faster.
Yeah. Probably, yeah, especially after his father died, all that kind of stuff, all this crazy stuff he's been diagnosed with, but yeah. Later they asked if he'd go back, like, what would he do? And he says, quote, kill my brother with a sledgehammer too, unquote. So he was like, yeah, just like, he was, like, adamant about killing both of them. They asked him if he always had this monotone voice, and he says yes, and, like, I was gonna say, like, his brother was like, yeah, he's always had, like, always talked that way. They asked him if he ever laughs, because he's so, you've seen his face, right? He's just like, he doesn't laugh, he doesn't smile, he has nothing. And he says I laugh about various things. They asked him for an example, and he says, I was laughing my ass off when I killed my mother. It's like creepy shit like that he keeps saying. I read paradoxical laughter is something that may occur in individuals with schizophrenia, like in times of like murdering somebody or like certain times that you probably wouldn't laugh or whatever. Zach also stated that one of his family members had raped him like years ago prior when they moved to Tennessee, but that was never really proven to be true. And so I'm not sure if it was like a made up thing or not, but he said that he told his mother about it, but she didn't believe him. He also stopped. He said he told in the interrogation, he said that he stopped from this person raping him. He said after that, he stopped bathing. So the officer's like, so you don't take a shower? You haven't taken a shower since you moved here to Tennessee? And he's like, no. He said that, I do it in intervals. So I don't know what
that
he,
sucks.
I don't
if
I know.
If it really did happen, like, for it sure. Doesn't matter if it only happened one time. You know, it's like absolutely. Just.
Nobody believing him,
I
too.
I wonder if it happened, really, like, in the shower or something, too.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I was thinking.
If it did happen, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And you tell your mom.
And she doesn't believe you, like.
Which I don't know what, you know, you don't know what's true or.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's not, but.
But if that really did happen.
But if it is, like, fuck, how would you live with it? And a troubled kid already? Or maybe that just started it all and fuck. Yeah. Man, that sucks so much.
For sure. And, you know, his father died. He doesn't have a father figure in his life. And it's just like, yeah. So that was horrifying to read. So I don't know if it's true, though. But they did find a notebook that survived the fire that Zach had written in. A couple of things he had written in there said, quote, I was raped by him that day, and I've been planning to kill him ever since, unquote. So he did write it. I don't know. I don't know.
I believe that. I kind of believe it.
Yeah, and he states it was only that one time. He said in the interrogation thing, he said the exact same thing. He said this family member did it to me one time, and that's when he talked about the whole bathing thing and whatever. But a note that they believe he wrote right after he killed his mother also in there stating, quote, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel remorse. My only true regret was that I didn't give her a faster death. I didn't want her to suffer, unquote.
Damn.
So that's creepy, too. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, yeah. So during the last few minutes of Zach's interrogation, it was the craziest thing. The officer asks him, do you always look at people through your eyebrows? Because, like, the way he kind of looks is, like, you know? And so Zach finally, he, like, smirks and he laughs about it a little bit. Which is so weird because, again, like, you don't ever see him laughing. And he says that he didn't realize that he did that. And the officer says, it looks kind of evil when you do that. I think you know what you're doing. And Zach, again, starts smiling and he, like, it feels like he's enjoying it. Like, he's, like, giving them a show and they're noticing it and he's, like, loving it. Almost. He later stated that his father's voice was, remember I was telling you we kept hearing his father's voice? So he eventually said that his father's voice told him to kill his own mother. So weird. Don't know.
Yeah.
If he's just making that shit up. But another note found that was written by Zach said, quote, after reading dozens of news reports about killers, I believe I found several consistent reasons why most killers are caught within a year. They rely too much on civilization. Most killers hide out in heavily populated areas or easily accessible areas. They don't migrate to other areas after several kills in a row. This makes the police in their area more alert and the citizens more cautious. Most rely too much on firearms or other weapons that produce loud noises. This will attract unwanted attention to their location, unquote. So, you know,
they just research.
For sure. And then this gets a little crazier. Not only did they find a shit ton of like gory like images on his phone, but they also found bookmarked websites about the murder of Junko Furuta. She was a Japanese. I've actually looked into this case. I kind of want to do an episode on it. But she was a Japanese high school student who was abducted, raped, tortured, and murdered by four male teenagers over a period of 40 days from November 25th, 1988 to January 4th, 1989. This is
fucking horrible.
I know. So he's looking that up. I know. That's a horrible story. Catherine Murch, who took her own life.
One at a time.
I don't know.
One story at a time for me, okay?
I know. Jesus fucking Christ. I know. Catherine Murch, who took her own life after she killed her own children. He also looked up Louisville chainsaw murder, a cult leader on trial in Ohio for killing a family of five, and he also looked up an X-Acto knife double homicide. Okay, like my search history might look the same, but I'm not. Oh my God. I'm a different kind of person. he was also searching, which I thought was kind of interesting, searching understanding schizophrenia, signs, symptoms, and cases, causes. So it's like, he obviously, you knew he was diagnosed with it, duh, but like kind of trying to understand maybe why he was thinking certain ways or yeah. I don't know, but I thought that was interesting. A note found in his phone, which I thought, this just shows kind of like the human side of Zach in a weird, you know, like that he has emotions. It said, quote, Thursday, March 29th, 2012. I saw Mr. Voss's school today. From the way he looked at me, I could tell he hated me. I didn't know what to say to him, so I just kept walking. I really hope I can repair our friendship before I leave Tennessee. He's the only person I've met that sincerely cared about me. Hell, he is like a father to me. I don't know what I did to cause this, but I hope it can be forgiven. Mr. Voss is also the only true friend I've ever had, unquote.
Wow.
Yeah, like an adult. This is his only true friend he's ever had. So I'm guessing this is back in, what, Kentucky, where they lived before they moved to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whatever came about that. I don't know, you know, what happened. But this kind of shows him, like, having a little bit of emotion and, you know, having a heart.
Yeah.
So after Zach's arrest and even during the trial, he changed his story like multiple times, saying that he didn't kill his mother and that his brother was the one that actually did it.
My God.
And that he just helped him cover it up. Yeah. And that he was like really innocent. He just, yeah. Which is like, it kind of like in that video, you know, all the audio and stuff like that, you've seen his brother talk in that one little clip. And it's like, He doesn't seem upset. He's not crying or anything. So it made me think for a second. I was like, damn, did his brother have something to do with it? But like, No, he didn't. But like, so he was saying like, oh, I just try to help my brother. Like, I'm innocent and stuff like that. But yeah, his story changed so many times. But he ultimately was convicted of first degree murder of his mother, Melanie, attempted first degree murder of his brother, Josh, and aggravated arson. I read that he was sentenced to 71 years. Although I also read that there's a minimum of 60 years, like maximum, for prison.
Mm-hmm.
So he was also, so he probably sentenced to 60 years, right? And then in prison with eligibility for parole after 51 years. So they think maybe in his 60s he's eligible to get out. Zach's grandmother claimed in court that had Zachary received proper medical care, the murder like may have not occurred. Like maybe if his mother didn't take him out, you know, when he was trying to like recover from everything, maybe that could potentially have
could be a lot of maybes. Maybe
oh, there is absolutely.
They should have believed him if he said he got raped by somebody.
True. Yeah, why not?
Maybe they should have looked into it more.
Get him help for that. Yeah, exactly. Question him more about it.
Yeah,
for sure. You're 100% right. Yeah, but it doesn't end there. Almost 3 years after his arrest, Zach appeared on none other than the Dr. Phil show, airing May 22nd, 2015, and here is that interview.
Did you kill your mother?
Yeah.
And why did you kill her?
She wasn't taking care of my family.
And so because she wasn't taking care of you and your family, you decided to kill her. And where did you hit her?
In the head.
Where was she when you did this?
She was asleep.
You've got a sledgehammer in one hand, and you open that door. What's going through your head at that moment?
My mind was pretty much blank.
And when you swung that hammer the first time, did you swing it hard?
Mm-hmm.
Did she make a noise?
I could just hear the hammer hitting her head.
So yeah, that's the little clip of him and Dr. Phil. But I don't know if you guys caught in the very beginning, it kind of sounds like he says something. It kind of, to me, and I think a lot of people have heard this, think that he's saying the same thing. But it sounds like he's saying, it wasn't me, before he says, yeah, like, I did kill my mother. So let's play it again so you guys can hear it real quick.
Did you kill your mother?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if you guys hear it. Like, I don't know if you do hear it. I hear it. For it's like sure. He mutters. Yeah. He like says it under his breath and then says like, yeah, I killed, you know, it's kind of creepy, but I don't know. I don't know if that was intentional or
some
not.
Some people say he's possessed by demons.
Yeah. I've heard that too. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but like, I don't know. You could be making it up. There's a minute, you know,
for sure.
I don't know.
For sure. But R.I.P. Melanie. It's very sad.
Yeah, very sure. Senseless. It's fucked up.
Senseless for a child to do that. Thanks for everyone that still stuck around to listen to us, especially after our last episode. Because we got a little heat. Maybe people thought we laughed a little bit too much. But we got a lot of listens to that last episode. But
yeah, after seeing that those comments that you showed me, it's like...
Some reviews we got.
You know, we are talking about murder and stuff like that. And
yeah.
It's super sad, and I don't think we should be joking around about that.
Eric.
But. April Fool's, motherfucker. I ain't stopping.
Oh, my God.
I ain't changing shit.
Yeah, this is who we are. You know,
fuck it. That's what we want to say. It's our podcast. We have the right to say what we want, and we always fucking talk about how horrible it is and show our sympathy and all that shit. At least we're talking about the story and making it aware so that person's life can be celebrated one more time.
For sure. And I like talked about the victims at the end.
And you know, I'm interrupting because I'm angry.
No, it's all good.
And, you know, we can say what the fuck we want, and you guys don't have to press play. We want you to.
Very true. Of course.
And if you like us, stick around. If not, fuck off. Exactly. Who cares?
For sure.
You know, we're still going to keep doing this shit. And
absolutely. But yeah, thanks for all the new listeners and for everyone still sticking around and listening to us.
We just got a couple things of hate, but other than that, we just got positive stuff out of it
for
all.
For sure, 100%. You know? For sure we did. But
it's not about us totally.
No, it's not.
Why are you guys focusing on us when it's about the people that were killed?
Right? Oh, man. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it.
And we're canceled.
We won't be back next Monday. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you guys for listening. Until next Monday, stay safe and be aware.
Sharpen your knives, hide your wives.
Oh my God.